Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing. I'm Zell. That's Dan. And this week, yeah, we got some sad news. Braden died.
Again.
Metaphorically and physically, he's dead, I think. He just had his twins, so they're still in the hospital in the NICU. Andrew's saving lives on the fire truck. So we had to bring in some reinforcements this week. We got Chase Markoff joining the pod this week for a little interview. I got his bio here, but it's more fun, I think, if you let Chase just introduce himself. Tell us what he's doing, and we'll just have a little fun.
Guys, it's an honor to be in the cast. My name's Chase. I'm a filmmaker. I'm an actor. I run a company called Weird Films, and we are launching the next greatest alien film and rom-com action-adventure journey called Area 51 Love Raid. And that's what I've really been focused on right now. And yeah, I'm happy to be on the cast, hanging out with my fellow alien enthusiasts.
Oh, yeah. Your bio says you just graduated not that long ago, and you're already got yourself a couple projects on the go, and then a couple projects finished. And now you got another one, a bigger one, a little more ambitious on the horizon.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. So I'm an actor primarily, and I've been on Law and Order, and I'm in a movie coming out with Shirley MacLaine and Stephen Dorff.
Now there's been a lot of Law and Order. So can you give, like, is there a season episode?
This actual past Law and Order, season it was 60, a big deal, like, for me. Whatever. I was on episode 2. I played Scratch. And that was awesome. And then I've had some short films that have been pretty successful at the film festival circuit. And one of them is called Bird Poop. And it's about two people that meet when they get pooped on by a bird at the same time. And then what if it never stopped? So I kind of, as a filmmaker, storyteller, I like to work in these kind of, I like to work on original work. And Area 51 Love Raid is really where it all started. I started working on it 5 years ago, just because I'm a huge alien lover, and I was inspired by this viral Facebook page to storm Area 51. You guys obviously remember that as alien enthusiasts, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we remember. Yeah. I remember waking up one morning, and it was just like, it was everywhere. You couldn't turn any direction online without running into this storm Area 51 thing.
Yeah,
you couldn't turn on the news. I mean, it caught up in the news. It's just always,
it was so exciting. It felt like, you know, I was so excited by it. I was a senior in high school, and this thing that I, you know, Area 51, and then all of a sudden people were actually like, there was movement around it, you know, like millions of people were saying they were going to go, and was it really going to happen? You know, I really bought into it, and I was super psyched about the whole thing, and I was just intrigued. And it was one of those moments that I guess just really inspired me and kind of set me on a course where I felt like I had to, especially when it finally, the day came and the raid was supposed to happen. And it didn't happen in the way that all these people imagined, the way that I imagined, all of us imagined, like this larger than life, like millions of people showing up to the desert and all this chaos.
Naruto running around the perimeter and then breaking through the front door of Area 51. Headlocking an alien gray and dragging him out. That's what I was hoping for, but
it's true. That's what I was hoping for. And they were talking about, you know, finding the aliens and like meeting them, and we're going to get them out, and it's going to be all, you know, everyone together, you know, we're going to unite and storm Area 51. And I was so curious to see what was going to happen. And And it was never going to fulfill that larger than life fantasy, you know? And that's why I think movies are the perfect venue for that, you know, to fulfill that kind of larger than life vision. And I couldn't shake the fact that like millions of people were interested in raiding Area 51. I should write something. Combine my love for rom-coms and adventure films and just like awesome original films that shaped me. I'm a huge fan of Scott Pilgrim versus the World and that kind of that's a great film. And I wanted to create something in that vein, but for a new generation, and also combine this huge event that has so much pre-existing interest, the raid of Area 51. So I started to kind of combine my love for love and rom-coms and aliens and raiding Area 51, and I kind of mashed it all in together into a story about a kid named Riley who creates the Facebook page at 3 a.m. as a joke, like anonymously as a joke, to try to impress his crush Lulu, who's obsessed with aliens and a huge alien fanatic. And then it goes viral overnight, which is the same how it happened in real life. And then they go on a crazy journey with her conspiracy theorist brother and their uncle who owns a comic book store. And the four of them go on this larger than life journey to raid Area 51. And there's the FBI that's forcing Riley to go. There's Alien Stock, the music festival that happened before. But we're doing it in an even larger than life way. And then we're combining all the memes when we raid, you know. I want to give that larger than life, like raid, and make it fun. And it's real. And, you know, I listen to interviews about people who actually went and to the real raid of Area 51. And they said that it was really just like a big love fest, you know, like of people who love aliens and who wanted to go on an adventure who came out. And I kind of want to mix both the reality and the fiction and my own heart and sensibility for storytelling and just create like an awesome, positive movie that goes down in the ranks with, I hope, like Napoleon Dynamite and, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you know, for those generations, they're classic films. I want to make something that's a generational classic for the internet age. And I'm reaching out to everyone who will listen to me, you know, to check out the Kickstarter, check out the pitch. I'm just super determined to make stories that people want to watch. And, if there's any proof of what people like to watch, it's social media, right? And the millions of views that a certain topic gets and memes. I think it says something about what people want to watch. So
you glossed over it though. Who's playing the uncle? Who owns the arcade?
Oh, that's a great question. The legendary Brian Posehn. Who was Bert on The Big Bang Theory, and he's been on the Sarah Silverman Show, and he's a legendary comedian.
Dan, me and Dan were just talking pre-show. Dan, how does he introduce himself to people?
Yeah, sometimes he introduces himself. He's definitely one of those things like people won't know the name probably, but they're like, oh, it's that one comic book nerd guy that in that thing you like, because he's just that he's that personality. That
he goes by a lot of names. Like,
you just see him, you see him and you hear his voice. He has a very, he has a very unique voice that you like when you hear it, you're like, yeah, that I know that guy. Like I know him mostly. I think I heard he was like on Comedy Bang Bang a lot with Scott Aukerman, comedy podcast. And then, yeah, like once people see him and recognize him, he's very recognizable. And they're like, oh yeah, it's that guy. But you won't remember what he is like. In at least, I guess, unless you're a fan of the Big Bang Theory.
He's one, like, I loved him on The Big Bang Theory as a kid. And then to have him, when we did the short, I reached out to him and he loved the script. He loves he's a big nerd like me and like myself. And he's also a total, like, rock and roll, like, badass guy. And he just came and we did it. And it was so awesome. The chemistry between the four of us, it's a special thing. I hand casted it myself. My best friend is playing the Lulu's brother in the film. And then we have the amazing Una Lawrence, who's playing Lulu. She's a Tony Award winner. She originated one of the lead actors who played Matilda when it was on Broadway, and then went on to do amazing films and stuff. And it's just the dream cast, the dream team. And I'm so determined to do it. And I feel like there's just nothing more. And then to put all these awesome themes together, like aliens and adventure and the road trip and raiding Area 51. It just doesn't get cooler than that. And I wish more movies were like leading with that sensibility, you know, of like, what do people want to watch? Like, what's the coolest thing we can make?
Modern movies are, they're such huge blockbusters. The ones everyone watches, it's pretty much, you get the same movie and over and over again. And there's so many great independent like films that kind of, like, people who love film and love the, you know, the festival culture, they see them, but the general public hardly ever gets to see. There's so much great stuff that never gets seen. Just, it's the same as music. Like I play in a band, and all these, there's so many great bands in every city, and you get a little exposure at like local festivals or maybe a little bit bigger. But if you're not trying to, what's been lost is like the art form. Right now it's just like a formula. It's like, okay, we got to do this. This is the story, the hero's journey. We got $150 million budget. Most of that's going to go from marketing, some CGI, and we're just going to crank them out. But the story's the same. Like, you don't get any like new fresh takes usually, right? At the theater.
So true. Originality is so important. I mean, you look back in the days of Hollywood, like people took risks. They didn't know if something was going to be successful, but they thought it was cool, and they threw millions of dollars at it and rolled the dice, you know? Now we have all this amazing technology that's almost alien, you know, from a few years ago. And I think I'm a believer that you can make something so amazing for 100,000, which is our goal on Kickstarter. We've raised 15% of that, so $15,000 in the past, what we launched 3 days ago. And we're just like determined to make the next Napoleon Dynamite. Napoleon Dynamite was made for a similar budget level, so that's why I'm always comparing that film. But I do believe that you can make something for a low budget and it could become a classic, you know, that people love. I believe that, you know, if we all bind together, like all of us who have common interests in, you know, aliens and indie and road trips and just awesomeness, if we all come together to support a film that is larger than life and cool, that we can get it done, you know. But yeah,
I think the raiding Area 51 is definitely like a interesting thing, because it's like aliens are a niche topic. Like they're very niche for most of the part, but also like widespread throughout pop culture, whatever. But the Area Raid 51, like you said, like it spanned out like so many, and the memes, like you said, let it like kind of spread out quicker, I think, maybe. That's what I'm kind of thinking about. And it's just like, it was such an interesting event to kind of watch as it shaped up. And then, you know, it's subsequent offspring of like Raid the Vatican, like
Raid everywhere,
Raid everything.
Yeah.
And it does, like, the people who did go, it does take you mentioned that. And I think that was also just, I think I saw a couple of interviews with people like who went, and it takes a special kind of person to go out there. I imagine the people that actually, you know, went through and followed through were a certain special breed. Cause that's like, that's a 2 hour drive. That's like a 2.5 hour drive out to, did you drive out to Area 51? Did you get a chance to do that?
I wanted to, I was in high school. I thought about skipping school and getting my friends together and going.
You should have done it.
Well, you should just right? It's just an experience to,
we went
to
there.
Drive out to the,
me and Dan and Bree went to Area 51. Well, as close as you can get without getting shot, at least.
Mm. It's a journey. I love that. Those are my favorite kind of trips. Like, I love going on a pilgrimage and looking for the unknown, you know.
Dude, we won't retell the story because we went to Las Vegas and Area 51. We went to the little alien. We got accosted by mercenaries. We watched people get chased by the white truck out of the gate. But we won't retell the story, but that little area around Area 51, that tiny little town, like Rachel.
Yeah. Barely a town. It's like eight. It's like eight trailers.
A diner, which is probably just heavily surveillanced for all the alien weirdos who come there like us looking to get to Area 51. And then anytime someone comes, like a mercenary comes, like, what are you guys doing here?
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It was fucking crazy. Scary.
It's driving out there, I thought, was always cool, because it's like you're driving out through like 2 hours of desert, like 2.5 yep. hours. You drive out of Las Vegas, you just drive through nothing out there.
I love it. I love it so much.
It's such an interesting time.
Like, aliens, it's such a uniting, like, it unites us all, you know, as a topic. I would be curious to see it with you guys. Like, it's such a uniting topic. Like, everyone comes together around this, like, oh, there's another you know, there's aliens out there. Like, it's more in
the modern sense, more like 20-30 yeah. years ago, not like it used to be, like, what are you talking about? But now, just science in general is more or less at least accepted the fact, like, probably not alone. Will we ever actually get to meet or communicate? Still, they think no. But like that openness to be like, we're probably not the only ones, is way more prevalent today. And then everyone knows Area 51 just from the news. Like, when that story broke in like the 90s or whatever, that story's lingered as the secret military base that no one knew about, that housed that Blackbird and these other like advanced aircraft for years, and no one even knew. So the merging of those in the public eye, that's why it was so crazy when that story was going viral, and there's like millions and millions of people who had RSV or had reserved. And I was like, if just like 1% of those people show up.
Yeah.
Which I think that's really what happened.
Well, in the end, I think there was like a couple thousand people. So it was like 1% of 1% who actually said they were interested in going.
And then they showed up. And it's like, but for us, like, when we, I mean, for me, watching the thing shape up, and it's like, I was like, these people do know that, like, even where they're hanging out, like, where they're all going to be, like, pre-raid, it's like, the base is, like, 20 miles in. Like, they'd be Naruto running for, like, another, like, 15 like miles to even get to the base.
If a million people showed up, there'd only be, like, a couple thousand people who could actually run the distance.
Yeah, it's like, I was like, it's a hike.
It's almost a marathon to get in.
Yeah.
That was wild. But yeah, it's like, the whole idea of aliens, it is, yeah, it's the, I don't know if it's the idea of aliens so much as it is like the idea of just, you know, having the unknown or another kind of intelligence out there.
If the three of us, I just met you guys just now. If we were like in a field, right, and all of a sudden a UFO showed up and it beamed its light. All of a sudden, the three of us—it's like we're a team, you know? Like, what? You know, we're fellow humans, and there's a spacecraft above us. That's why I think I kind of was driven towards combining this idea of love and romance and friendship and adventure with aliens, because kind of ties everyone together. And reminds everyone of the human experience.
It's a common interest, a common goal.
We're all human in the face of something unknown.
What was the speech, Dan? What was the presidential speech? Who did it? The Star Wars speech? If only there was a common enemy above,
that was Reagan.
We could unite us all. He's talking about aliens.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, exactly. And we're just a... I don't think aliens are even, I mean, I think aliens are peaceful. You know, I think that, that they're trying to.
We better hope so.
Oh yeah. I saw that Steven Spielberg movie recently. What's it called? Oh my God. Oh, Day After Tomorrow. And I didn't like how they, it's sad how they paid aliens. Like they're just, but it was so, like we're all, again.
That's a remake. Have you seen the original one? Have you seen the original?
I didn't see the original one. I saw his film. I should watch the original.
Okay. That one's, it's a science fiction classic.
It's a classic.
I don't know how much they painted it in that one, but I was like, the original one is very, the message towards the end is basically like, it's like humans, you can't have nice things.
And we were so vulnerable. Like there was nothing they could do, you know, when the aliens showed up. So even if the aliens are good, bad, it always unites humans together because it's, what are we going to do? We got to figure it out, you know?
It's coming together as one. I think was it like Independence Day, like kind of those things. It's
Independence Day.
Bill Pullman's like, speech. They have it. Like this is our Independence Day, and
well, like great you look speech, at ET, it's all about friendship, you know, and like it's just it. I think aliens is a uniting theme. It unites people,
and there's also so many because. You know, still in the realm of science fiction, there's only so many angles you can go with that too, right? You can go anywhere. You can keep them peaceful. You can make them terrible. You could go anywhere in between. So you get a lot of creative freedom when you start talking aliens because.
Yeah. And even just the idea, like in my film there, I won't say exactly, I'm not going to, but like the aliens is a driving force for the story. And the human element of all of it, and the journey. Even though, like the three of us, like we love aliens. We're so interested in the lore and the unknown. But we'll probably never see aliens, you know, in our life, or maybe we will. But if I did, oh my God, that'd be like the greatest moment of my life. If I saw if I got to meet an alien. Oh my God.
If I see a craft above, I'm just going to hurl myself underneath of it and just hope for the best. Just pick me up.
Wouldn't it be so cool to meet
There would be nothing more profound than like face to face with an intelligence from beyond our world, dimension, galaxy, wherever it may be.
Unless it's a xenomorph, and then it's like, no.
Exactly. Fun. That's the thing with science fiction. These things can go dark real quick.
Roll the dice. Yeah. Roll the dice.
But they could also get romantic. Have you 100%. Guys seen the documentary?
Xenomorphs get romantic in a way.
Have you seen Love and Saucers?
No, I don't think I have, actually.
You haven't seen it? Okay, this is a must watch for everyone. Everyone listening to this,
Love and Saucers.
It's called Love and Saucers. It's a documentary about a man who believes that he lost his virginity to an alien.
We did a case file on the original story of this. I think
is it the Villa Boas one?
Yeah, he lives in New Jersey, actually, and I was so the documentary is great, and I believe him. You know, I believe, but maybe I want to believe him, but it's so crazy. And he painted the images of.
Oh, yeah. I remember that guy. Yeah.
We talked about him, right?
Yeah. We talked about him. I don't remember
what case file that was, but
I don't remember.
He had a good time. That's for sure.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember these. I remember these paintings. Yeah, I remember
all this stuff. Yeah. A sexy alien queen called what was it? I forget the name, but I was inspired by that. So I made the Uncle Jay in the film. He has the same thing that
teaser, he does mention a little. He may or may not have had a romantic encounter with an alien back in his day.
It's true. It's true. Called Galactica.
And he's hoping to find her again.
That's right.
And that may or may not be the convincing reason when they finally get him to go on the journey.
And that may or may not be the reason why you listening and everyone should support the Kickstarter, because who doesn't want to see Brian Posehn find his
fucking alien.
Long-lost alien love?
Let's go. You know? What's the rating on the film going to be? What are you going for?
I'm going for PG-13.
Okay, so you're allowed a little... little something, something, not too much.
Yeah. I think
you get one F bomb, like, and you get like one titty, I think, right? Is that what you get?
Yeah. Side boob. You get side boob.
We're going to have plenty of memes, plenty of internet humor, and plenty of fun. It's a must watch.
Hell yeah. I mean, we've only seen the teaser, so I'm sure that's probably all you've filmed, right? Cause you don't have a budget yet. I'd be excited to see the rest. I mean, it's shot. It looks nice. It looks like it's well done. You obviously have the vision for it. So we don't want to spoil the story, obviously. So we're not going to ask too many questions, but let's give the people a little bit about you, your backstory. Like you started a company, Weird Films, right? Is it just you? Do you have partners? What's going on with that?
So I started it about a year and a half ago, and it's just me. And I kind of, you know, I'm an actor, so I know I have so many friends and collaborators in all different sectors of the arts, you know, VFX makeup artists and VFX artists and DPs and actors, so many actors. I really was driven to make Weird Films because I was like, I have good ideas for stories. I have original ideas and I'd love to make them and make them happen. And I was seeing a lack of original content and positive original content, and I wanted to be a part of the change. I'm also a believer that, like, films in general, they should be weird. Like, weird is original. We have this amazing art form where you can capture something that looks like reality.
Like Sharknadoes.
Yeah, and like, and yeah, Sharknado it. Yeah, you can, exactly. So well said, Dan. Like, you could Sharknado it. You can make it weird and make it fun. And I think that's why people watch. I like to watch movies to escape into a fun, crazy world. And I mean, I also like serious films and dramas, but I also like pushing the boundaries of what a film could be like, you know, and make it wacky, you know. Why not? It's a film after all. It's a movie. I love this idea, like, you know, when you watch the TV, like, I remember there's this guy in my life, and he's a doctor, and his mom used to say to him when he was a kid watching TV, he would look at the TV and his mom would say, you know, everything you see there, they're all lies. Like, it's all lies. Like, it's just people in front of a screen and they're acting on a set. Or, and I like that idea of, like, let's make it imaginative, you know, like Everything Everywhere All at Once. I did like that film because it was so wacky at points. And I thought that at least opened the door for more wackiness to be had. And there's been a lot of wacky films, especially in the 80s. And I like that. You know, it's a movie. It's fun.
Wacky's
like,
fun.
Yeah.
Keep things fun. Weird. Stuff lost its weirdness, weird. You know?
Yeah.
Especially like, you know, pop stuff, mainstream stuff lost its weirdness. It's all...
Yeah.
A carbon copy of the last.
Yeah, I love the 80s, like weird films, and like I'm embracing, like, weird is cool, like weird is original. Let's do it. You know, let's make some weird, cool, awesome stuff. And Area 51, when I came up with the idea for Area 51 Love Raid, it was a no-brainer. I said to myself, I have to do this. People want to see this movie. I believe it so strongly that I've dedicated the past 5 years of my life, you know, really to just making this movie happen. Every dollar I make, I put back into the movie. I made the short and did it, cut it into the pitch, and now we're on Kickstarter. And I tried going down the traditional route of, like, you know, reaching out to investors trying to raise money. Yeah, pitching it. That I went to everywhere to pitch it for a whole year. I went everywhere.
And they asked for they asked if there's any superheroes in the show.
Yeah, it's just
no, and you went, know, no,
it's,
not for
it's
us.
So hard. Even I have these great, amazing actors, but, you know, people, if Tom Cruise isn't in your movie, you know, it's like, or they need a big name, or
need something to sell. Sell big.
It's always about that. And but to me, it's like the interest, the pre-existing interest, that's people want to see that. You know, they said it, they showed it on social media. They said they wanted to raid Area 51. Let's give them a movie about people raiding Area 51, you know? That's, and I've just been like so laser focused on that mission, you know?
I mean, I wanted to raid Area 51. We got to the gate and then we chickened out.
Yeah. So like some things are better told in movies, you know?
Yeah. It's a, when the guns aren't real. It could be a, it's better.
It is a fun setting. The raid of Area 51. Like it is like, and you can still, yeah. Like you could do a bunch of stuff with that story, which I'm sure you explore in the yeah, film of being totally, like the, yeah. What if, like what if some people did get in?
What if just know? Over yeah. that hill, there was a bunker yeah. and in that bunker yeah. there was an alien. And that alien yeah, actually like, held this knowledge what is in free there, energy you know? And all the rest.
I mean, Area 51 is still like a very secretive stuff. So it is like yeah, a good place so to kind of, it's a good place to play with your imagination to kind of go in and be like, hey, what's in there? Like,
yeah, totally. And it's a shared question. Like what's going on in Area 51? And it pushes us to go on crazy journeys, like go on a road trip and just to see it at the gate, right? Like the two of you guys just went to the desert in the middle of nowhere just to get to the gate, you know, mm-hmm. and see, just to get close. It's cool. It's alluring, you know?
I almost thought it wasn't even real till we started driving up there. I was like, oh shit, there is a gate. This is a real military
base. Well, it's like, yeah, it's such a weird trip. Yeah. We've always had like, it's, The as close as you can get is just, it's just like a dirt road. It's just like, there's a dirt road to a tiny little gatehouse and you're like, okay, this is it. You're like, it's strange because it is, it's underwhelming, but it is also like, I guess they kind of built it up for like when we were at the cafe. Before going, they're kind of like, just don't be stupid. And then what was it? Yeah. Like the couple days before, some guy had like gotten shot.
That's what they said, at least.
Yeah. That was in the news though.
He crossed the actual, like the perimeter.
Like, the yeah. line. One of the perimeter markers, and they ended up either shooting him or detaining him. Oof, he got detained and they were, but they kind of told us so like, don't be stupid. And you're like, okay, stupid.
Well, yeah, don't do it. Don't yeah, actually raid. Like in the film, that's a big thing that, you know, the FBI is like, you have to go and you have to Riley, you have to go and you have to tell everyone to not like call this off. And he's like, oh my God, like, okay, I guess I will, you know? And like, if the FBI tells me I have to, but at some point it gets bigger than,
it's too big to fail at that point.
It's too big to shut down, you know?
It takes on a life of its own and kind of like, yeah, it's like,
it's
the
true.
Person like, who made it, it's like out of control.
What if the real life one, a million people showed up and they went hiking? They're not going to shoot them all. What are they going to do? You can't arrest them all. True. You can't arrest a million people. You can't shoot them.
I mean, I think when it was building up, like true. It was the government, FAA, like everybody like put out announcements like, don't yeah. do this.
They brought in soldiers and everything. Like they had actual, like they brought in like reserve soldiers to stand there just yeah. in case.
Thousands. They brought thousands.
I've been
of
the
soldiers
worst day, in. Just like to be a soldier, to be like a guy, and be like, yeah, we gotta take you out to the Area 51. You gotta go stand over there, just over the yeah. place, for the middle of the desert. You gotta waste like your whole freaking weekend.
I do love that all the major UFO locations of the world that the aliens choose the most. Rural areas, you know, like Rachel, like well, at least the, you know, Area 51, or I went to Roswell, New Mexico.
Oh yeah, let's hear that story.
Yeah, have you guys gotten to Roswell?
We didn't get to Roswell yet. No.
No.
Oh, you gotta go to Roswell.
It's on the list.
Roswell
for sure.
is so cool. So basically, you know, back when I was still pitching this movie to investors, and I thought to myself, I gotta go find my people. You know, I gotta go find the alien community and pitch this movie and tell them what I'm doing. So I flew out to, you know, the largest UFO festival in the world in Roswell. It's not very large, but it's big for their town, which is a small town. A
couple thousand people or something.
Yes. And we flew out and we made a whole documentary about the experience that is a reward tier on the Kickstarter. So
oh, nice.
If you want to watch the documentary, contribute to the Kickstarter and you'll get the area code also for the exact spot where the UFO crashes in Roswell, which is not easy to find. You have to like do your research and to know the area code to. But so basically we went to the UFO festival. I set up a table and I pitched all the people that showed up in Roswell to the UFO fest. And it was awesome. It was the best experience. I loved the community and the people I met. They were so interesting and so many characters and tinfoil hats and... yeah, it was wild. We met a flat earther. We met, it was wild. People I had never come across in my life. And
how did you know he was a flat earther?
We interviewed him.
He called you a flat-tard right away or what?
He said, of course the earth is flat. What are you talking about? when you talk to someone like that, it can be a little like frightening because you're living in two different truths. You know,
What was his sticking point? What was like, this is why the earth is flat? Did he tell you like, this is why?
I don't know. He was a really religious. He was a mix of things for sure. But he was a cool guy. He gave American Express cards, right? There was an alien on the American Express card. So it was like that was his business card. Sweet. It was like an alien on American Express. It was like Alien Express, and he gave it to all of us. And such an interesting guy. And so many like just alien lovers. It was so weird. I'll never forget when we were leaving, there were people sell the weirdest objects too. Like someone was selling a cursed object and that freaked me out.
I have one rule in life is anytime someone offers a cursed object to buy
it.
You have to buy it.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, you have to buy it. You got to take it home and you got to mount it on the wall right in a common area. Just in case
they're right next to your.
I was actually 19th scared. Century like, I actually like. Collection. I'm like.
Cursed with what though? Did they tell? What was the curse?
I don't know. I don't even want to be.
Did they just have like a painted on sign that just said cursed object? Oh,
an anonymous curse is even better because then you don't know what you're getting.
I was like, I got out of there quick, but yeah. We screened it there too, and it's a small festival, like it's a small convention. There's like, I don't know, 150 people, but it feels small. Like, and I did an announcement over the microphone, hey, I'm going to screen my 6 minutes of my movie in the other room. And then it was a nice screening room, but like, come check it out. And people came, and there was about like 20 people, and they were the first ones to watch the 6 minutes of Area 51 Love Raid. I wasn't successful in getting investors there because,
not a lot of money there, I'd imagine.
Yeah, $50,000 for an investment. And that made me kind of, I think it was after that trip that I really said to myself, I want to make this accessible, you know, for everyone to join the journey, join the raid. Like, let's storm Area 51, you know, and you could give $50, you could give $100, you could give, you know, whatever you can, $1 or $5. I mean, that would take a lot of dollars, you know, individual dollars to get there. But I really just wanted everyone to have their chance to be a part of it and join the journey. So then we moved to crowdfunding. But the greatest part of that trip, we screen it, then we head out and we document the whole thing. And we said, I had to go see the crash site. And the crash site's like 2 hours away from the actual town of Roswell. And it's in this other like nothing town called Lincoln. That's really where it happened. Right. Roswell was just the people that capitalized off of it and turned it into this a tourism spot, which was really smart because the whole town relies on tourism for UFO and aliens, people driving through as like a road stop.
It was just Roswell had the paper, right? And that's what the paper made it famous.
Yeah, like they were the first one. They started to say, "Oh, they crashed here," you know. Or Lincoln, they're like, you know, they didn't think to.
Well, Lincoln's even more of a nothing town, right? It's like barely anything.
Nothing. Yeah. It's nothing. Like it's one guy sitting on a bench and abandoned stores, and that's an hour away from the crash site. So we went to the crash site. There's a fence because now it's private property, technically, where the crash site is. And we found the coordinates and we called because there's a gate. So we called the number and we said, and the guys were like, "Hey, we want to go see the crash site. We heard the Discovery Channel, they put a memorial to the aliens that crashed and we want to go, you know, see it and pay our respects." And the guy's like, "Yeah, just hop the fence. You can go ahead." So we grabbed our water, some food, and we hiked for like 2 hours in the desert. It's so quiet, so desolate. And we finally found it. It was hard to find, and we found it. And there's a coin, and it says, "We'll be back." Two aliens on it. And
what do you mean there's a coin? Like mounted somewhere?
It's like a coin that's mounted in the ground.
Did you scour for wreckage?
There's like a plaque there. Like
I looked for like, you know what I was doing when I was looking around? I was looking for curvatures in the earth that like could have been like a crash.
Sure.
Like
furrows. You know,
like a
crater of some kind. Yeah.
A crater, yeah. I was looking for a crater. I saw so many. There were so many craters there. It could have been anywhere. But when we made it to the crash site, my friend, he was looking under a rock, and he found a box.
Oh.
A box. And
a cursed object in it.
In the box is notes, right, from everyone that has visited.
Oh, cool.
It's under a rock, right by the coin.
Oh, sweet geocache.
You just got to look for it, like, right? I wrote a note.
Stole it.
At Roswell Goose.
It's so cool. No, I didn't see it. No, it's sacred. That's a sacred object. It was so sacred. I wrote notes. I wrote my note, deep messages, and I put this really cool alien technology inside of it. I don't know if I should reveal what it is because I want people to contribute to the Kickstarter and then go and make the journey, you know.
Was it that Alien Express?
It's
a real technology.
You put alien technology in the box.
I did.
But you don't want to reveal what it is because you have more of this alien technology. If they donate to the Kickstarter, you're going to send them some alien technology.
What I'm going to do is if they contribute to the Kickstarter, which you all should, as alien lovers, you will get the coordinates to the exact crash site where the box is, right? And you will be able to ask aliens a question with this technology. I did it. Me and my buddy, who was in the film, we did it. We asked the aliens questions. And it was, honestly, it was shakingly, It was scary how real the questions were we were asking of them, and they were giving us answers.
We're talking about like you're getting like a telepathic answer. Is that what we're talking about?
It's an alien shaped object. That's what I'll say.
Alien shaped object.
Ask of it questions.
Alien shaped,
and it will give you answers.
So is it a shape that's not endemic to Earth? It's a different kind of shape. We've never seen this shape before.
It's a shape of an alien head.
There's a lot of different alien heads. So which one?
Green. It's a green object. It can't be missed. It's an alien gray. Green, and it's in a plastic container like this.
No, but what type of alien head is it?
Green, classic green.
But like an a bulbous alien gray head.
Yeah. Green. That's the object.
You got the Nordics, right? You got the tall grays.
You can ask
you questions. Got the reptilians, the draconians. You got all these different types of aliens. It's a lot of different head shapes.
It's true. So this is the classic green alien.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go and you will find this object and you can ask it questions about your life and ask it about anything you'd like.
Oh, so it's like a Zoltan machine or whatever, right?
Essentially.
An alien Zoltan.
It communicates with aliens, and they'll help you.
Relays.
We asked it very profound questions, and those questions we asked, the answers we were given were moving and set us on just a beautiful course. It was one of the best trips of my life. And
unclear. Ask again later.
Yeah. you guys got it. You got to contribute and make your own pilgrimage out there.
Well, we're gonna contribute because the deal was you're gonna come on here, right? Yeah. And then Dan's gonna be an extra in the movie.
It'll be great.
Depending where you film, if you can make it work, Dan's gonna stand in the background with his hat on.
Yeah.
But then also in the background, because there's a joke on the show that Dan never takes his hat off. Mm. That in the background of the film when you're doing it, and Dan's in the background, he's going to take his hat off.
That wasn't part of the deal.
And then put it back on.
Okay.
And that's all he's going to do. He's going to have nothing to do with the movie at all. But that's how you get any of our listeners to donate, if you put Dan and takes his hat off. Because under his hat, if you didn't know, he's actually an android, and under his hat we think is clear. I think he has a clear top. Like you can see the gears you can see the computer.
My quantum processors. Yeah.
That's what we think.
I love it.
He just doesn't take it off ever. I don't think he's ever taken his hat off live, at least.
Guys, it's going to happen, but it won't happen without your support. I promise that we will make that happen. If we reach our goal, it's happening. That's the deal. I'm a man of my word.
Dan's going to be in the background. He's going to take his hat off. You heard it here first. So open up those wallets.
Open up the wallets.
No, forget the movie. It's all about Dan's hat now.
Want to see Dan as a raider? That would be so sick with this hat.
He takes his hat off and he Naruto runs.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he gets shot.
No.
Then he blows up. Well, no, he can't be on the screen too long, so you just gotta get rid of him right away. Just like there's Dan, and now he's gone.
Our tight schedule. Just gotta shoot for like 15 minutes. I'm gone.
He falls in a sinkhole. Has nothing to do with the nothing to do with the movie at all. Just he's just gone.
Oof.
Last thing you see is his head. Just top of his head.
Falling
sinking.
In holes is rough. I fell in a hole once.
Sinkhole? Like a legit sinkhole?
I fell in a manhole.
Oh, the fuck!
In high school, and
someone
it was so bad.
It off?
Like
it was in the
one.
Middle of the night. I was waiting for the bus, and I literally fall, and the lid of the manhole went straight between my legs. It was horrible.
Oh man,
it was brutal.
Like it just like tipped and like
It was like it got me right in the balls, and it was brutal.
He's never been the same since.
I went to the doctor. It was that bad, because I was all bruised up. I got up and I got off the bus. The only reason I didn't fall in, was because I had a huge backpack on filled with books. So I
got stuck.
Fell in and then I couldn't fit in the hole.
Who says school is not good for anything? Without those books, you might be dead.
Yeah, and it's true. Yeah, it's true. And I went to the doctor, and the guy was like, "She's like, you should totally sue the school. You should sue the school." I was like, "No, I love my school."
Should have sued the school, then you could have made the movie.
You'd hit that. You
that's
not the way it
works. That's
you would
a bad
need the Kickstarter. You'd already movie already be made.
Yeah, I want to do it. I want to do it by everyone coming together, and we all help out, and we make it's all of our it's a film for us all.
A nice true independent project. I like it.
Yeah, let's do it. Like
18-minute credit scene at the end of all the Kickstarters.
We all play a role. Everything you contribute, it's it. You're part of it.
Because you said Napoleon Dynamite, right? But that movie cost barely anything to make.
Yeah.
But a cult phenomenon like that, I mean, that movie made like a 10,000x what they put into it. Not necessarily that's the goal always, but like a little bit of money. You don't need a huge budget to make a lot of money, is what I'm saying. You can have a good project, good story, all the right people put in place. It just, everything fucking to a T, and it does well. Not necessarily means it has to make millions of dollars, but it just does well. People like it, and that's all that really matters. At the
strikes
end.
That chord.
Yeah,
and it's not Blair Witch. It's like
and all those movies, Napoleon Dynamite, Blair Witch, and like you know, Blair Witch, a different movie, but like they all, they're so, they give a lot to the world, you know? Like
everyone talks about those movies. Them.
Yeah, Blair Witch gave me plenty of nightmares.
Yeah, Blair Witch, but I've had some good nights with my friends watching Blair Witch, but, Napoleon Dynamite, I've, you know, watched that and it's comforted me a lot of times, just like when I wanted to watch a good movie and laugh. And and I'm just one guy, you know, millions of people, they love that movie. Mm-hmm. And just if we have the opportunity to make another one of those, I think it's just a great thing for the world. Yeah, it's good for people to have that we don't always have to revisit the past, which we love. Like I love revisiting the past and Napoleon Dynamite and Ferris Bueller, but we should create films.
Well, if you have a good movie and it's got characters that resonate with people, Napoleon Dynamite very much like at the time probably resonated with a lot of people. Like just that experience of, you know, being the outsider, going
like as many
those things.
Like, yeah. I think it's important for each generation to have a generational classic film that is fun, that represents, feels like they rewatch it in 20 years and they look back and they feel like, that captured something, some kind of humor that, that kind of united everyone. And, it's like a universal thing.
Well, when it's like a low budget as far as like films go, you get rid of the CGI, get rid of the stuff that might not age well. You just tell a good story with the real people. In 20 or 30 years, you watch that again, and you're like, it holds up. It's the same.
Yeah.
Because when you watch horror films or like sci-fi from the late 60s, 70s, you might still like it, but it doesn't really hold up. Like that's, the technology has changed so much. Everything's changed so much. But when you watch something, you know, like I loved the movie There Will Be Blood. No soundtrack, no CGI, just people. And when you watch that in 50 years from now, it'll be the same thing.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's like a lot of sci-fi movies, the better ones are they had like actual practical effects they're like very few effects
CGI enhanced, kind
of. Like,
but
you know, early
90s
stuff when they started doing CGI, it's like you go back to watch some of those and you're like that's not so
didn't
great
age.
But
didn't age well.
Yeah,
but like you go back to things like The Thing and like the original Alien movies and you're like those are still
Alien.
Like,
the first one is still that's terrifying. Terrifying.
Still scary. Yeah. The Thing.
Oh,
still
my God.
Scary.
I watched the first one. I love it. Oh my God. And
a lot of stuff we don't get anymore. Like even like just like original puppets or stuff like that. Like, I could go back and watch like, you know, what did I watch the other day? I watched Labyrinth. It was on like in Jim Henson's Labyrinth. And I was like, this is still good. I was like, fucking puppets. I was like, puppets still cool.
I'm a huge fan of practical effects. I think it always holds up when it's done right. And it's such a beautiful art form. And I'm definitely committing to that with the aliens in my, in Area 51 Love Raid. I want to use practical special effects makeup for the aliens. I think it's so cool. And it's just because technology, like you said, it changes. And then people look back and they're like, this is outdated, you know. But special effects makeup is it's like an art form. It's like a painting, you know, never gets old. No one gets tired of Starry Night, you know. Like imagine doing like you do a painting on someone's face and you make them look like an alien. It's like the coolest thing. I love it.
Hell yeah. Well, before we let you go here, we got a few minutes left. What do you think aliens are? Cause like everyone, we've talked about our aliens, love and peace or war and hate. Like what are your personal thoughts? And do you think we've made contact? Have they visited? Mm. Or are they just a figment of our overactive imagination?
I 100% believe that we've made contact with aliens. I believe that aliens are peaceful and want what's best for us as a human race. And I believe that they're loving creatures that keep a distance for some reason. I think they're observers. I do think that they are loving creatures. I really do believe that. And I think they're fascinating. And I love hearing stories about aliens in all regard. But I ultimately think that they're peaceful. And I wouldn't, if you're worried about aliens, I wouldn't worry about it. I would just smile and wonder and, yeah, allow it to unite you with your fellow human being. And, yeah, you know, it's an awesome thing to wonder about.
What do you think about alien abductions? Pure science, or is there something more sinister?
I think too many people have stories about people being abducted, that, and to think that it's all just people making it up, I don't believe it. I think we should, you know, you got to hear people out, you know. And I believe people have had experiences that abductions and things that we can't understand, and we need to give those people respect. And And I think it's important to, you know, talk about aliens and, you know, show the next generation that it's an interesting, exciting topic. Continue the discussion and continue the research. And I think it should be taken serious, you know. I really do. I think it's important, and I think it's fascinating. If it's for art, if it's for research, it's all great, you know. It's a question that unites us all, right? And what's greater than that, right?
Hell yeah. Got yourselves a true alien lover here, making a film. Tell the people, because there's a Kickstarter going on, tell everyone everything they need to know about trying to support the film, where they can find you, your company, all that.
Yeah, thank you so much. You got to check out Area 51 Love Raid on Kickstarter, and support, contribute, share with your friends. Contribute whatever you can. Everything matters, because we want to just build, get more backers. So if you're an alien lover, if you're a UFO lover, if you love awesome movies, you got to go find us on Kickstarter, Area 51 Love Raid, and join the team. Let's raid Area 51. We can only do it together, though. And I need everyone's support. Share it with your friends. Let's do it. It's going to be an awesome journey. Yeah, let's make it happen.
Hell yeah. Well, we'll include some of that in the show notes. So if you have a bad memory like me, make sure to just check the show notes out. There'll
check
be
the show notes.
Show notes. There'll be some links there. All right. We're going to let Chase go. Me and Dan are going to be back for after hours, but we'll be right back. 1 second.
Man, I love talking with you guys. Thanks for having me, man.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.